Since we're ahead on time, I can just talk forever, right? Right, Raj?
Not forever. Just one extra minute.
Okay. So we're going to change gears here a little bit. We're going to talk about some work that we've conducted. As Raj said, my name is John McGuire. I am a agronomic and technology consultant from Northwest Ohio. We deal with farmers and retailers in Northwest Ohio, Northeast Indiana, and Southern Michigan. I'm here representing Nutrient Star today. We'll talk about what Nutrient Star is here in a minute, but it's a program that's funded by Environmental Defense Fund. And when you come to an ag conference or you speak in front of farmers, I've done it enough, and when you say Environmental Defense Fund, you can watch the crowd kind of go like this, right? You see that closed posture. And a lot of times if you stop and you actually make the crowd tell you why the posture closed like that, it's the idea of regulation. And I'll tell you, when EDF first approached us about being involved in the program of farmer networks, we very much had the same closed posture. And what we've found with working with EDF is that they are very science-driven. They are making decisions based on information, which is very important to us. They're trying to provide us information that allows us to make better economic decisions for our growers. And that's really the foundation of Nutrient Star. And I think it's important. So it's a program that began in 2014 by EDF. The primary goal of EDF and Nutrient Star is to provide data to farmers on the environmental and economic outcomes of nutrient use efficiency tools. So that means your stabilizer products. It's been focused around nitrogen mainly because that's where the products and technology seem to exist. And it's, again, the idea being that how do we take scientific data and convert that over into something that the farmer can utilize. And it's very important to us in our business because we're constantly being asked by the people that we provide service to say, what should I be using? How should I be using it? When should I expect an effect? And that's extremely valuable to our guys so that they're not spending money when they don't need to be spending money. And they know that opportunity exist in a certain way and certain characteristics. And that's really what my talk is going to be about, is documenting those things that are important when you're conducting field scale trials so that you know later on how to then analyze the data. So again, we were trying to get started with a data set, and the initial data set was a literature review conducted by Allison Eagle. At the time she was with Duke University, and she went through each of the publications of journal articles, gray literature, and then also some company provided information. And the criteria for being considered in that literature review was the research should be conducted in North America on corn and wheat, and she was looking for attributes that contributed to both yield and nutrient use efficiency in the form of partial factor of productivity. And again, Nutrient Star was interested in creating that pooled data set for both statistical reasons and then also that educational piece. And going into it, it was thought that, or at least I thought, that there was going to be the ability to say, under these certain conditions, this product operates in this way. In these certain conditions, maybe it doesn't operate as well. And what we found was, of course, the literature review was very product focused. And there was many of those stabilizer products were represented in that data she came back with. The review panel, who helps guide Nutrient Star, which we'll talk more about here in just a minute, is interested in conducting trials at the field scale. And of course, I'm interested in conducting trials at the field scale. And why would that be? It's because those are the conditions under which my guys are asking me to make recommendations to them. And so what Allison was able to find in the literature was mainly small plot trials, which is good, but we were hoping for those field scale trials. A majority of those, and this was a surprise to me, a majority of those experiments lacked documentation to come back and be able to characterize the environmental effects in the form of partial factor of productivity, and generally did not include the factors, the metadata that was required to say, under these conditions, I expect this result. Under these conditions, I expect that. There was a lack of documentation. And that's kind of where we pick up with our story today is that, so about a year ago at this time, the review panel, and there's the members of the review panel there, were meeting to discuss the findings of that meta-analysis. And it so happened that there was also some industry representatives in the room that actually are responsible for manufacturing some stabilizer products. And there was some consensus came that said, you know what, if we had these documentations for each of these studies, there could be some significant value, especially going forward as we start to think about the future meta-analysis that could happen. So what I want to do is I want to talk about some of the reasons they found that, or they came to that consensus. And number one, companies that manufacture those products, if they have that information, can better understand the utility and the mechanisms of their product. Second off, and this is for those that are actually conducting field research, having this list of variables could make creating contracts to do the field research easier, both on the manufacturing side as well as on the field side, because everybody's looking and expecting the same sorts of attributes to be collected. And then finally, the results would be able to be pooled, right? Future meta-analysis would be able to be done if we had that consistent list of attributes, okay? Oops. And then ultimately, and this is really where I get excited, is that the farm and the farm community could utilize that information to better understand the results, and I can help my farmers more effectively make decisions about the tools that are out there. And ultimately, our goal would be to increase the partial factor of productivity. You know, no different than the water characteristic of how much water do you apply to get so much yield. That's partial factor of productivity, except we're talking about nitrogen here, the amount of output per nitrogen input. Okay. So I'm going to quickly go through the list of suggested attributes. One of the things I want to talk about is the fact that we are looking for guidance or additional input, I would say. On this list of attributes. Is it thorough enough? Are the things that are here, when you think about it from a field scale, are the things here thorough enough, and are there others that should be added? So we're looking for information. You'll have the ability to download this list of attributes from the Nutrient Star website, which I had up there as nutrientstar.org. You'll be able to go in and make comments, and then also we're looking for the thought by the review panel is to publish this list in the Agronomy Journal as an opinion paper, so signing on as an author. So first off, geolocation. It'd be really nice to have the latitude, longitude of where the trial was conducted, right? Because it would give you the ability to go in and look at the other characteristics that are listed underneath there in terms of the soil slope, that sort of thing, weather information. However, we are aware that certain people and certain farmers that I cooperate with are a little leery or a little bit touchy about sharing the geolocation in a data set. So it's okay not to share the geolocation as long as you can characterize the other things that we would use that for. Tile drainage. Of course, tile drainage is extremely important when it comes to productivity, at least in our area, and maybe not so much in some of the irrigated areas that were talked about earlier. Chemical properties of the soil. Soil and landscape, a notice here, okay? These are some of the required or suggested required data. Some additional optional supporting data that the review panel has thought about are listed here. And again, the more information that you have that you can collect here, the more thorough of the meta-analysis that can be conducted later, okay? So tile drainage, some details about that, soil physical properties, soil biological properties, and then, of course, some chemical properties. And then the cultural practices. So what is the farmer deciding to do? What are the things that led to some of the outcomes, okay? So and for the 4 R's in terms of end fertilizer, the 4 R's in terms of manure placement, and then the 4 R's in terms of other fertilizer applications, the P and K that happens. Knowing the crop rotation, the corn hybrid, the tillage practices, and then long-term conservation if that's applicable. Okay, and then again, when you start to look at the trial design, it's important to document each of the attributes that goes into that trial, the dimensions of the individual plot, the dimensions of the overall trial, planting date, seeding rate, harvest date, harvest area, harvest method, weigh wagon, yield monitor, then some individual strip statistics with the yields corrected to a fixed moisture. That's one of the things that Allison had was several studies came back with yields that were corrected to different moistures, so standardizing that could be helpful. And then, of course, we'd love to see, I think, the individual strip yields, but if that wasn't available, then at least the treatment means and the statistics that are there. So, and then finishing up here, environmental characteristics. So again, if you're dealing with a stabilizer product, rainfall is extremely important and can often have a large effect on the effect or the efficacy of any given product. The annual rainfall would be important to know, and then deviations from normal. Growing degree days, again, optional. Growing degree days, wind speed, direction, humidity, and then solar radiation. So in addition to that, if you're going to try to report to farmers, they're always going to say, well, what about the economics? So if the researcher themselves have a value that they use for, say, in this case, crop price, cost of N, additional cost for application, if there is any, depending on what product it is, that would be nice to know what the researcher used, and then also the cost of the N fertilizer itself. So in addition to that, so some of the learnings that we've had from the meta-analysis when it comes to trial design. First off, we weren't really clear in a lot of the papers whether or not the conditions were the trials themselves were placed in areas where the conditions would be expected for those stabilizers to be used. So I think if you really are looking for efficacy, you should think about picking a place in the field or picking environments, field conditions out there where you'd expect that stabilizer to work. Thank you, Raj. Second, this comes back to kind of the meta-analysis itself. If you don't know whether the area that you conducted the trial was in the right area or not, if you don't have a scientifically valid reason to separate area or trials that come back where the product actually worked to where they didn't, if you don't have a scientific reason, so you have to keep those two different trials in the data set itself to be honest and be fair to the scientific result. So the second bullet point is saying, if I don't have that metadata, if I don't have all of those attributes that I just listed, when I'm looking at results later on, I have to keep those trials together. It's not a good thing. We all know that we're probably averaging oranges and apples together because of the environmental conditions weren't documented. And again, bullet point number three says document it so that we can separate it out later. Okay. Another thing that was a learning from the meta-analysis was the rate of N high enough that you were going to achieve agronomic optimum, right? Was it high enough to the point where adding a stabilizer, you're not going to see the result because nitrogen rate is so high that the stabilizer has no opportunity to work. So ultimately, in a perfect world, and I can tell you no farmer that I work with would do bullet point number five, but it would be great to be able to build a response curve, right? So we build a lot of nitrogen response curves using four rates of nitrogen. It'd be nice to have four rates of nitrogen and then with and without the stabilizer so you can say, here's the effect on the response curve. No farmer I know is going to give you 32 strips within a field at field scale in order to conduct that research. So what's the alternative? The alternative would be to go out there with a reduced rate of nitrogen from the grower rate itself of 50 to 70% and replicate treated and untreated at that rate and then look for that response. So that's the suggested protocol and probably the one that most people will be able to get away with. And then estimating the loss would be valuable as well. So you could use a tool like Adapt-N or a tool like LeachM to be able to look at losses that occurred between the time of application and black layer. And then finally, you can actually help calibrate some of those readings with a PSNT value. Roger, am I out of time?
No.
Okay. And then, so in summary, based on our learnings, we're interested in helping put forth these guidelines for field scale research as related to nitrogen efficiency products. And like I said, we're seeking input and consensus around these data items. You can find those. You'll be able to find those data items on NutrientStar.org. And so for further information, check out the website. Karen and I, Karen's in the back of the room. If you want to talk to us individually, there's our phone number, there's our emails. But you can find, you'd be able, once you hit info@NutrientStar.org on the website, your email is going to come to me anyways. So thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. So they've got dominant soil series. So soil texture being encapsulated in that, hopefully. But that's a good point. Maybe, is there another texture attribute that you had in mind? Yep, and then here's your infiltration rate, and that sort of thing is an optional.
I don't see it. Maybe it's embedded somewhat organic matter. I mean, you're working on nitrogen.
Yep. Oops. Yeah, organic matter should be on that list, right? Oh, right there, total soil organic matter.
Very well.
Okay.
Other questions?
Thank you guys for your attention.
All right, thank you.